I guess a preacher's prerogative to change a topic. There's so much I would like to talk to you about, but I really feel that this topic is crucial in the light of what God wants to do here in Scotland. That I decided to pass on the presentation that we'd originally scheduled and talk about personal preparation for harvest work. So will you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, it is encouraging, as Pastor Claudio has said, to see so many people gathered here this morning. I know that these harvest workers, you want to bless them. You want to bless us. We all need it, whether we've been walking as harvest workers for many years or just getting started. We so much need the joy of your presence and the enabling, the power that comes from your Spirit, the wisdom that comes from above. So teach us again today. Thank you that we could just worship and thank Jesus for saving us today. We thank you so much that your love has been so freely revealed. And we know you do not want us to keep that to ourselves. So hear our cry as we listen to your word today and bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Personal preparation for harvest work. I'd like to begin with a song. It's been wonderful to hear you sing some scripture songs. And this is one, a new one, but I'm going to teach it to you and it will be fairly easy to learn. It's from Psalm 9. If you have the New King James, you can read it word for word. I chose to memorize the New King James rather than other translations because I'm old enough that as a child I memorized the King James. Some of you did too. And the New King James is very similar with taking out some of the archaic language. And so if you've memorized "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," it's just "He makes me rather than He maketh me." So my wife and I have memorized a lot of scripture from the New King James. And this is from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. And it's called "I Will Praise You, O Lord, with My Whole Heart." We actually sing this every Wednesday night at our home. We have a house of prayer in our home, and this is our theme song. So I'll teach it to you. Here's how it goes. We're going to sing it through three times. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. You may notice that we're repeating. We're going to sing it again one more time. And we learned from preaching that repetition helps you to remember, right? And so we're going to sing it again. Hopefully someday you'll be walking around your town singing this song, Psalm 9. Here we go. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. God's people said, you know, I have to smile because we've literally taught this song to tens of thousands of people, especially through our Hope Sabbath School. And I just imagine people walking on the streets of gold going, I will praise you, O Lord. And imagine David stopping and saying, I know the words, but who wrote the tune? And we'll say, well, they didn't save your tune, so we had to write another tune. Those are taken from the psalmist David. I want to share a problem with you this morning and a solution. Here's the problem. This comes from the book Gospel Workers, so I accept this as inspired counsel to the last day people of God. I want you to read it. Could you read it out loud with me? I want you to really hear what it's saying So can you see the board? Am I in your way, Martina? Can you see? Okay, let's read it together. Some who are teaching present truth are not acquainted with their Bibles. They are so deficient in Bible knowledge that it is difficult for them to quote a text of Scripture correctly from memory. By blundering along in the awkward manner they do, what does it say? They sin against God. That's serious, isn't it? Read on. They mangle the Scripture and make the Bible say things that are not written therein. That's a problem. That some people who actually are teaching present truth are not acquainted with their Bibles. It's not just embarrassing that they are unable to quote a text of Scripture from memory, but actually it says in blundering along as they do, they sin against God. I've tried to encourage my students and pastors that I talk to, and I would encourage you as pastors and lay leaders to take very seriously the invitation to hide God's word in your heart. You see, here's the danger. There is a spiritual battle going on. I was going to talk about that battle this morning, but I'm talking more specifically about preparation for harvest work. But you know this text. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then Paul describes, and I write about this in my book, Radical Protection. He talks about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace on your feet, the shield of faith with which you can extinguish how many of the fiery darts? All of the fiery darts of the evil one, the helmet of salvation, and then the last piece of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, a little Greek lesson. This noun, Word of God, Word, is not the common Greek noun, Logos. Have you heard of Logos? In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. The Word was with God. That's not what's used in this text. Rather, Paul uses the Greek noun rhema. Now, I told you I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can look it up in a lexicon. And rhema means a specific saying. All right? A specific word or saying. When Jesus was tempted, you remember he quoted from Deuteronomy, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every..." In the Greek, that's the word rhema. Every word or saying that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he didn't just say, "The Bible, the Bible." He quoted a specific word. "Turn these stones into bread." "It is written," Jesus said. "Jump off the temple." "It is written." Jesus used a specific word from the Lord. I want to suggest to you that we need to fill our minds with the rhema of God. You with me? Specific words of God. We need to fill our minds with the words of God. You say, "But Derek, how will I know which one to use?" Yes, don't worry. The help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your... See, you know the text, right? So he's going to help us. So what we're going to do is I'm going to suggest to you this morning, in the minutes that we have available, three strategies for filling your mind with the rhema of God. Okay? So that as we go out as harvest workers, when we need help, whether we're a pastor or a lay leader, the Holy Spirit will bring the rhema of God to our remembrance. Whether we're tempted, or whether we need to give someone encouragement, or whether we need to provide some counsel, the Holy Spirit will help us. So, three practical strategies for hiding God's word in your heart. Strategy number one, saturation. Now, what does the word saturation mean? Well, I normally have a big sponge that I bring and a bottle of water, but because I was planning to do another topic, I left my sponge back home. But if I had a sponge and just poured a little water on it, change the color a little and said, "Is it saturated yet?" You would say, No. And I keep pouring until finally it was all kind of swollen and water started to drip out of the bottom of the sponge. And I'd say, is it saturated now? And you'd say, what does saturated mean? Full. That's right. It means it's so full, there's no more room. Now, this is a strategy for filling your mind with the Word of God. Would you read this text? It's familiar to you, but this is actually describing the first strategy. What's the first strategy? Saturation. Let's read it together. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You say that's all the time. What's the word? Saturation. You're constantly sharing the word. We should become acquainted with the Bible. You need not be surprised that God will flash the knowledge obtained by diligent searching of the Scriptures into your memory at the very time when it's needed. Now, this isn't specifically saying that you have intentionally memorized it. You're just kind of filling your mind with Scripture. But notice this solemn statement. In fact, I'd like you to read it so you really hear it with me. So let's read it out loud. But if you let the precious moments of probationary time pass and neglect to fill your minds and the minds of your children with the gems of truth, if you are not acquainted with the words of Christ, if you have never tested the power of His grace in trial, you cannot expect that the Holy Spirit will bring Christ's word to your remembrance. Does that make sense? If you don't put it in, the Holy Spirit can't bring it to your remembrance. So, this is important. Saturation is one method. Testimony of two witnesses. Has anyone heard of the name HMS Richard Sr.? Okay, some of you are old enough to maybe have even met him. I met him when I was a young pastor. And my parents became Seventh-day Adventist Christians as a result of the ministry of HMS Richards Sr., the voice of prophecy. HMS Sr. used this first strategy. What's the strategy called? Saturation. Okay. Now, back when he was young, there was only two ways to saturate your mind with the Word of God. Only two ways. Either you read it yourself, or you had someone read it to you, Carol. You're absolutely right. Those were the only two ways. Back to the book of Revelation. Blessed is the one who reads and the one who hears. Those were the only two ways. So I was fascinated to discover that HMS Richards had read through the entire Bible more than 160 times. Now, I know you could say, well, yeah, you could do that and still be a scoundrel. That's true. But if you read with a prayerful heart, something's going to happen to you. Because you will become, what's the verb? Saturated with the Word of God. He read in 12 or more different translations. He would read it through two times every year. He did that for 80 years till he was starting to get a little old. He was asked one time, Pastor Richards, have you memorized the entire Bible? To which he humbly replied, I don't know that I could claim to have memorized the whole Bible, but if you read me a text, I'll quote you the text before it and the text after it. And do you know that HMS Richards only had one eye? When he was 10 years old, playing with a gun, actually the barrel of a gun, they were playing some boys together and it blew up with the shell in it and detached the retina in one of his eyes. He went blind in one eye. He had one eye. He read the Bible 160 times. We have no excuse, do we? How many of you have two eyes? Don't raise your hands. One time he was preaching. I don't know if you ever saw pictures of HMS Richards, but sometimes he'd be walking along like this, reading. You know, it's a wonder he didn't fall over and break his leg. He just had one eye. One time, I'm told he was preaching a powerful sermon. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And he would turn to the book of... And the whole time his Bible was upside down. He's preaching the word and sharing the power of the Scripture. He didn't see too well. But the word was in his heart, saturated. And if you ever heard him preach, you could tell. He preached powerfully. He was filled with the word of God. Modern example. Chaplain Barry Black works not far from where I live. The capital of the United States in the Senate. He is the chaplain of the Senate. He's been quite publicized in recent weeks trying to pray for some sense back into Washington. Barry Black is the first Seventh-day Adventist and the first African-American to be the chaplain of the United States Senate. It is an incredible honor. It is a lifetime appointment. You are not reappointed. It is a lifetime appointment. He said, I don't think they knew I was a vegetarian. I could live for a long time. Some people say, well, isn't that awesome to have a Seventh-day Adventist as chaplain of the Senate of the United States of America? And I would say, it depends. What if he was a scoundrel? What if he just shared human wisdom and poetry? But I am so thankful to tell you today that Barry Black practices this first strategy. What is it? But you see, we have technology today that HMS didn't have, right? So do you know what Barry Black does to saturate his mind with the Bible? He has to drive to the Capitol every day, and it's a 45-minute drive, and then 45 minutes back. The traffic in Washington is one of the worst places in the world. I know, I live there. And you could get all stressed out. Do they have road rage in Scotland? Probably not, do they? But you've heard of it, right? People get really aggressive because the traffic's bad, and they cut in front of you and make funny hand signs and all kinds of things, right? But instead of getting stressed out, on that commute to work and back every day, he puts a CD in, David, and he listens to the Bible. Could you guess? Do you think he could go through the whole Bible in a year just driving back and forth to work? Yes? Two times? Three times? Four times? Yeah. You read the Bible through to him. Beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And if you had someone that could do that everywhere you went in the car, but if not, you could get a CD, right? Have someone have read it. Do you know he listens to the Bible through completely four times every year, just driving back and forth to work? What's the strategy? Saturation. So when he stands up to pray before the Senate, or he prays at the funeral of John F. Kennedy Jr., or he meets with Mother Teresa while she was still alive, whatever it is he may do, he's filled with the Word of God. The Word of God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. He's using this strategy. Now, my wife also practices this strategy when she's driving. And my wife likes to listen to a dramatized version. Do you know what that is? That's where a young man comes to Jesus and says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? The voices are different. And it's kind of interesting listening to the Bible. It's just word for word. Nothing's added. But it's just done in a dramatized version. And sometimes you hear things differently by listening to it that way. So find one that works for you. I was checking online recently. You can buy the entire New Testament for probably £15 or so. It's not expensive, even though it's 10 or 15 CDs. You can get the whole New Testament and just listen, get the whole Bible, listen through the whole Bible, practice this first strategy of saturation. And just trust that when you need something, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. That's strategy one. Did you get it? Saturation. By the way, you could also, has anyone ever watched the Bible on DVD, like the Gospel of John, Gospel of Matthew? South Africa, Jimmy, they produced the Book of Acts. Powerful. Word for word, a visual presentation. So you've got many ways. You put it on an MP3 player or an exercise while you're saturating your mind with the Word of God. Strategy number one. All right? Strategy number two, scripture memory cards. How many of you at some point in your life wrote a Bible text on a card and carried it around so you could memorize it? I see Martina nodding and Anthony right here. And I think Hadassah was just waving at me. But someday she may do it. All right? That is a simple way that has been used by many people. And I'm going to share some practical principles on a website. I'm going to give you a web address in a minute where you can go and get some more information, okay? Because we don't have time to do it. But here's a text that encourages us to very intentionally take a word and hide it in our hearts. And you know it. This is New King James. Let's read it together. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See how that's very similar to the King James. Thy word against thee. So that's why it's easy. Psalm 119. My favorite little book on the Christian life, Steps to Christ. Let's read it together. Keep your Bible with you. As you have opportunity, read it. Fix the text in your memory. Even while you're walking the streets, you may read a passage and meditate upon it, thus fixing it in the mind. Now, I'm going to give you a little lesson about memorization. I'm not a neuroscientist, so I'm not an expert here, but I'm going to share three ways that we memorize. And if you want to write this down, fine. If not, you can go to a website or you can write to me afterwards and I'll send you a 14-week plan for using scripture memory cards with all of the strategies that we're going to talk about here. So I'll give you my email in just a minute. All right. Good morning, everybody. All right. First way to memorize is called semantic memory. That's where you hear something and you understand it. Like when someone's reading out loud, like when you're reading to your husband, okay? Semantic memory, you hear it and you understand it. That's one way. Secondly, motoric memory. Now, this has changed with keyboarding, and I don't know how that works, but back when we used to write with a pencil or a pen, how many of you, remember way back to when you were in school or university or whatever, could write out a list and then when you went to the quiz or test, you could close your eyes and you could remember that list because you'd written it out. How many of you do that? Okay. What if someone else wrote it out and handed it to you and just before, would that help? It would only help if you had a perfect third eidetic memory. What's a perfect eidetic memory called? Photographic memory, right? So if someone handed it to you, said, here's all the things, and you went, right? But if you don't have a perfect memory, it didn't help much that they wrote it out, did it? Your motoric memory kicks in when you write it. Now, I can keyboard fairly fast. I learned to keyboard without looking at the keys. That doesn't work. Touch, used to call it touch typing, right? But we don't have typewriters anymore, do we? But you know what? That doesn't work for me motor-wise. That doesn't work for motoric memory. So this works for me. So I don't know. There's got to be different ways that you can make it work. But the way to maximize your ability to memorize something is to put all three of those together. So if I'm wanting to memorize a text, for example, give me a Bible text, anyone. John 10:10. So that says, I have come. The thief comes only to steal and kill, destroy. I have come that you think I paid him ahead to call that text out, didn't you? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If I'm trying to memorize that, if I go like this, the thief, and I'm obviously looking, comes, I'm doing motoric memory, I'm hearing it, not just, no, the thief, if I hear it, move, and see it, I'm hooking all three of those. You with me? All right? Thank you for choosing John 10:10. So I'm going to just walk you through this, but again, I'll send you a 14-week program for using scripture memory cards if any of you are interested. But we begin with prayer, reaffirming our acceptance of Jesus, asking for the gift of the Spirit. Why? Because this is not just a mental exercise, it's a spiritual journey, right? Then read the selected passage out loud, slowly and carefully. What part of my memory am I working with there? Which of the three? Reading it out loud, semantic, right? Slowly and carefully. Concentrate on each word as you read, making sure you grasp the meaning. If there's a word you do not understand, look it up. Why? Because no point in memorizing something if you don't know what it means. Listen carefully as you read this text several times. Next step, write out the text on a 3x5 card or 4x6, whatever you use. The verse should be written out with one idea per line. This is really important. one idea per line. Now, you knew this when you were studying. If you had to memorize eight things, you didn't write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 1/2, 8, right? You wrote 1, 2, 3. Why? Because that's how your brain stores it. So let me give you an example. You remember the song we just sang, Let the Word of Christ, earlier? What's wrong with that as a scripture memory card? There's two things that are wrong with it. What's wrong with it? Okay, there's no punctuation. I could possibly live without the punctuation if I'm memorizing it. What else is wrong with it? Pardon? It's not itemized. It's just kind of filling up the space, isn't it? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your... I mean, it's... What else is wrong with it besides the fact that it's not itemized or one idea per line? It's too close together. You'd like to spread it out a little? Would any of you like to see the scripture reference on that card? How many of you say, oh, I know the text, I just can't remember where it's found? So take a look at this. Put the scripture reference, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, Colossians 3:16. Do you see the difference when you look at that card? Now, someone might say, well, could I have put in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs like that? What's the answer? Sure, if that works for your brain, if that's the way you want to memorize it, because you're going to then look at that card carefully, but you see how much more symmetrical it is. That's why the Psalms are easier to memorize than Paul's epistles that go on like this, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? That's what we're doing here, one idea per line, we're putting the reference in. Look at the text carefully as you've structured it on your card, read it over slowly, listening carefully to each word. And then something very amazing happens. And I know, because I've tested it. If you take that card, do you use 3x5 cards here? Or is it all metric now? You know what I'm talking about, one of the little index cards, right? If you turn that card over and take a blank one, you can reproduce exactly what was on the first card. It's amazing. You don't believe me, do you? Do you know I shared this with a lady in her 60s up in the northwest of Washington? She wrote back to me a month later. She said, I've already memorized 100 passages from the Bible just using this simple method of scripture memory cards. Writing it out one idea per line in a way that makes sense for the brain, vocalizing it at the same time so I can hear it, see it, motoric skill. If I'm partway through it and I forget it, no problem. I look at my first card, focus on it, go back and finish it. But then I've got to do something very important. Remember when we were talking about preaching, how do I get it to stick? Repetition. Thank you. Repetition. So I'm going to keep one card in my scripture memory file. I have a little oak box, kind of like a menu, for little menu cards, you know. I have a little box, and I put one card in the box and take the other one with me. Put it in your purse, put it on your computer, take it with you in your car. Keep one with you, take the other, recite the text frequently throughout the day. If you have difficulty, just pull it out, look at it, read the text out loud. And be open to share the text with someone else as appropriate. There's no better way to reinforce a text than to share it. My wife had just memorized Jeremiah 31:16-17. God impressed her to memorize that passage. And I shared with you just yesterday, she met a person whose daughter had run away. And she said, I have a word for you. Refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. So God's Spirit brings that to your remembrance, and by sharing it with someone else, you're reinforcing it in your own mind, right? So scripture memory cards is a wonderful way to hide God's Word in your heart. Let me share a testimony of two pastors. I met Pastor Bob about 25 years ago. He was a fairly new Christian. He'd grown up in a nominal Christian family, but had pretty much become an agnostic by the time he was in university. But he went to some meetings, and as he studied Bible prophecy, he came to the conviction that the Bible was more than just human words about God, but it was actually the Word of God to the human family. through the prophets, and the prophecies fulfilled brought confidence to him that this was a reliable testimony. And so Bob said, I'm going to do more than just read the Bible. I'm going to hide the scripture in my heart. And he used this second strategy. First one, saturation, right? What's the second strategy? Scripture memory cards. He used this second strategy, and when I met him, he had already memorized more than 380 chapters of the Bible. How many chapters are there in the entire New Testament? Does anyone know? It's about 249, I think. Someone can Google that, right? Chapters in the New Testament. We'll tell you. But, you know, he's way past the whole New Testament, right? 380 chapters of the Bible. He used these scripture memory cards, and he would go through them and repeat them and review them, filling his mind with the Word of God. I said to him, Bob, God has given you something special. I want to encourage you to, for your doctoral study, he was in a doctoral program. I said, I want to encourage you to write your doctoral thesis on the power of Scripture and ways to hide the Word in your heart. And he did, and I met Dr. Pastor Bob Banks just recently. He had a little, what do you call it, little business attaché case, or what do you call that, like a briefcase? Had a briefcase with him. I said, he said, this is my scripture memory card. You know, I was like, I said, how's it going? He said, by the grace of God, he's very humble, but I asked him because I'm really interested in helping people to fill their minds with the Word. He said, by the grace of God, I've memorized more than 680 chapters of the Bible. Wow. Now you say that's pretty impressive. And yet it's not out of harmony with our Adventist heritage. Jay and Andrews, you may remember, after whom Andrews University is named. He was one of our young leaders, first missionary to Europe, General Conference president as just a young man. Jay and Andrews had memorized the entire New Testament in Greek. Taught himself Greek and Hebrew and Latin. So these were not lazy people. They took very seriously the importance of the Word of God. And Pastor Bob, wow, such an inspiration to me. The second pastor I know fairly well. It's me. And I thought I'd like to try this second strategy, scripture memory cards. And so I decided one summer to memorize one of my favorite New Testament books. I have several favorite New Testament books, but one of them is the book of Philippians. I love Philippians, so I thought I'm going to memorize that. There's about 108 verses, I think, in Philippians. So I thought, well, if I memorize 4 verses per day, I was on a break in the summer from teaching, in 30 days I could memorize the epistle to the Philippians. So I did that, and I made a scripture card, and I wrote out and used my semantic memory, motoric memory, looked at it, and then to help me, at the end, I would write the first word of the next card, kind of like a little trigger to help me to the next card. And doing that, over 30 days, I memorized the book of Philippians. And I just felt so happy. I would drive to visit people or to the camp, and I would be able to repeat the book of Philippians while I was driving. And then school started again. And I made a mistake. And by Christmas, Philippians had gone far away. So much other information coming into my brain. It was like a distant memory. What didn't I do? I didn't repeat it. I should have repeated it. I should have regularly repeated it, because otherwise it doesn't stick. That is the problem with the second strategy. You have to keep repeating it in order to keep it there, which is what Pastor Bob does. And so that is why I want to share with you the third strategy. And I need to be done at about 12:15, is that right? Somewhere at 12:20, somewhere around there? Okay. So that's why I want to share the third strategy with you. I was not always a devoted follower of Jesus. I grew up listening to the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and all that kind of stuff. And do you know, I can still remember the first time I heard certain Beatles songs. I can tell you all of the words, you know. When I was going through a crisis in my teenage years, I wish I'd been filled with the Word of God. Instead, all I could think of was help. I think I need somebody. Some of you don't even remember that old Beatles song. And when relationships weren't working, instead of knowing the Word of God to help me, all I could think was, I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried. That's an old Rolling Stones song. You say, Derek, man, you had problems. Well, I did, really, because I was memorizing the wrong things. You know, you say, well, I don't memorize. Listen, have you not heard songs and they go through your mind all day? Right? When I was a little boy, I heard an advertisement or advertisement for Esso Blue. Is anyone old enough to know what Esso Blue is? Yes, it's do you call it paraffin? What do you call it? Kerosene or paraffin? Paraffin, right? So there was this little song. Some of you are looking at me like, I've never heard of this. It's used in little heaters. And it said, they asked me how I knew it was Esso Blue. I in turn replied with lower brands you buy, smoke gets in your eyes. That was 51 years ago. That is totally useless information. Why did I remember it? Because advertisers are smarter sometimes than followers of Jesus. Advertisers know if you link words with music, they get what advertisers call, they get sticky. You use that expression in advertising in the UK. It gets sticky. That means it kind of sticks to you. So here we find a text that kind of tells us what the advertisers figured out. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom. How is it going to dwell in you? So that you can teach and admonish one another. What does it say? In what? Psalms. What's a psalm? It's a song. Hymns. It's a song. Spiritual songs. It's a song. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know the great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Have you heard that name? Great British preacher. When he was a little boy, his daddy paid him to kill rats in the family warehouse. His mother paid him to memorize scripture. She paid him to memorize scripture. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great preacher, said, I made more money killing rats. But the memorizing of scripture changed my life. Wow.
That's how Barry Black was raised as well. His mother gave him a dime every time.
And do you know when he preaches, he quotes scripture, doesn't he? Wow. Powerful. So, here's some counsel from the early Advent movement. Writings of Ellen White. There are few means more effective for fixing his word in the memory than what? Few means. I don't know what the others are. So I'd have to ask. So what are the others? Well, I'm sure memory cards could help. That's what the children of Israel did. The songs that had cheered the wilderness wandering were sung. God's commandments were chanted and bound up with the blessed influences of nature and of kindly human association. They were, oh my, this is startling. They were what? Forever fixed. They were what? Forever fixed. That's different from my little cards that I forgot, right? Because my little cards were just data. But this has music attached to it. And they were what? Forever fixed in the memory of many a child and youth. Now, this is startling. I've taught a class on the life of Jesus for about 20 years. I'm still on the faculty at Southern Adventist University. And I don't know, have you ever read a book and you read it again and you see something you never saw before? I'm like, whoa, I never noticed this before. I'm reading about the childhood of Jesus, and it says that often Jesus expressed the gladness of his heart by singing what? Scripture songs. Often the dwellers of Nazareth heard his voice raised in praise and thanksgiving to God. He held communion with heaven. How? Did you know when Jesus was tempted, he was, bam, the word, right? It is written. It is written. But did you ever wonder how he did it? How did he hide that word in his heart? Did he use saturation? Did his mother read to him? Did he make some cards? Or did he learn scripture songs? Or maybe all three, right? But at least we know some of it was in song. And for those of you who are parents, we've got some parents here. I know we've got a few parents, right? You want to know what the next sentence says? Because it's really powerful. When I read it, I went, oh, Lord, please, for my children, or some of us have or may have grandchildren, You know what it says? He walks around singing scripture songs. Here's the next sentence. Evil angels were banished by his presence. Praise God. That's the power of the Word of God. Evil angels were banished by his presence. As the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness cheered their way by the music of sacred song, that's scripture songs, so God bids his children today gladden their pilgrim life. It's saying, sing scripture songs, folks. Gladden your pilgrim life. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Here's the testimony of two sisters, and with this I will close. Ashley Holt sings scripture songs with my wife. In fact, "I Will Praise You, O Lord, with My Whole Heart" is Ashley singing. My wife sings alto with her, and occasionally when they need a male voice, my wife recruits her first husband. Ashley is an amazing Christian woman. She was a student at the university where my wife and I were both teaching. In fact, my wife was in the School of Nursing and Ashley was a nurse. And one day I heard Ashley singing in chapel and I thought, whoa, there's an angel singing in the chapel. And here's this young woman singing in the Spirit, just beautiful, spiritual singing. And my wife and Ashley began to sing together and they began to sing scripture songs that my wife was writing. And God has blessed this young woman. She now has three sons of her own. And she fills her heart with the Word of God. I just want to share two stories with you from her life. When she was little, her mommy said to her, if a man or bad man ever come and try to do something bad to you, look straight at them and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's pretty good counsel from mommy, right? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. So she remembered that, and she was now a student at Southern Adventist University, and one night she had a dream, and in that dream some men were chasing her, and her heart, have you ever had a dream and it just feels so real? I mean, her heart was pounding, and she's just running, and they're running after her. Finally, she got stopped and turned around and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And they stopped. That kind of slowed them down a little. But then she went into a house and locked the door, and she didn't know where it was, but that's her dream. And then, just like in the book of Genesis, Sodom and banging on the door, and her heart was pounding, and then she began to sing one of the scripture songs that my wife and Ashley sing together. In the night, his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. Keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me under the shadow of your wings. And as she sang the song, the peace of God filled her heart. Amen? You say, well, that's just a dream. It was real, even though it was a dream. The peace was real. And she knew if she ever faced that crisis that the Lord would keep her as the apple of his eye. Well, she was so impressed, she wanted to teach this to her children. So she would play the CDs in the kitchen. They have now recorded 7 CDs. She played them in the kitchen. And some of you got the Red Letter Edition, which is the sayings of Jesus. And one of the most complex songs on this Red Letter Edition, which is, you know, you have a Bible that has red letters. That's the sayings of Jesus. These are all from Matthew to Revelation. One of the most complex ones is here, track, let's try to find it here. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's playing. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Her son, 4 years old, was walking through the kitchen while they were playing that scripture song. 4 years old. You think you got to write silly little songs for children? You don't. They're smart. They can absorb all kinds of things. And her four-year-old stopped and he looked up at his mummy and said, I love the words to that song. I love the words to that song. So the Word of God is so powerful. And Ashley now is hiding that Word in the hearts of her children and has been a huge inspiration. Well, the other person who's a witness lives with me. My wife and I met singing at New Bowl College. When we met, I was the composer. I used to compose Christian folk music. And we'd sing together. And in fact, we sang for several years, and then we had children, and we got busy, and I stopped writing. But then my wife started to compose. She started to write scripture songs because she wanted our children to hide the Word in her heart, in their hearts. At first, just thinking it would be for her, not knowing that those would be played worldwide on the Hope Channel and shared with so many people, but just to bless the lives of our children. What she didn't know is it would change my own life. It would change her husband, change my heart. Because we've seen so many miracles from the so many songs that have been written. I keep encouraging my wife, we're so busy, to make another CD because some of the best songs haven't been recorded yet. But we sing them at home in family worship. We sing them when we're in the car. We want to fill our hearts with the Word of God. But we've seen so many miracles, and in the few minutes remaining, I'll share two stories with you, if I may. Our sons were 10 and 6. My wife was driving home in our Volvo sedan. I mentioned Volvo because they're heavy cars. And she was driving up to our house to drive into the garage. And I don't know if any of you know how to drive a manual transmission. I guess they're fairly common here, aren't they? So, you know, you can pop it into neutral and it's still kind of rolling. You're not supposed to do that, I know. But you can turn the car off and it can still be rolling because you've put it into neutral. Well, my wife was just kind of driving in. She turned the car, I popped it into neutral, and it's going into the garage. And my son Christopher thought the car had stopped because the engine was off. So he opened the door of the back seat and he stepped out and the rear tire rolled up onto his foot. Now, a Volvo sedan weighs about 3,500 pounds. So you divide by four because there's four tires, and you've got what, about, by four? Yeah? 750, thank you. So here he is, right? A little more than that. But it's heavy. I know you say the tire spreads out, but how would you like it on your foot? So he calls out to his mommy, who's still in the front seat, and says, "Mommy, you're on my foot." Now, my wife is generally very cool, calm, and collected. She's advanced nurse practice. She's worked in emergency rooms. She's dealt with gunshots and accidents. One time, I cut my leg with a chainsaw, and I came in, and I said, "I cut my leg," and my wife said, "Go in the shower and clean it up." I mean, she's tough, you know. She's calm, but it's different when you just drove over your son. So my wife panicked. She started the car, and instead of putting it into reverse, she put it into first gear and drove forward. Christopher shouts out, "Wrong way, Mommy," as the tire is going up towards his knee. My wife, of course, in milliseconds realizes she doesn't want to go forward, puts it into reverse, drives off of his leg, stops the car, runs around, scoops him up, asks the lady with her to watch our younger son and her two boys, puts Christopher in the back seat of the car. She gets something to try to control the swelling. She's driving. Her heart is pounding. She gets to a doctor who says it looks like there's damage at the growth plate. There could be damage at the growth plate. You need to go to an orthopedist, a surgeon, a specialist. So my wife's driving through the city, getting lost, stressed out, when she hears a little voice in the back seat sing a 3,000-year-old prayer. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed," Psalm 61, "lead me to the rock that is higher than I, higher than I." How did he know to pray that prayer? Why wasn't he just singing Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Why was he singing a 3,000-year-old prayer? Hear my cry, O God. Why? Who was helping him? They got to the surgeon. The surgeon could see the tar marks, the red tar marks going up over his ankle, examined him, and turned to my wife and said, there appears to be no damage. They put a temporary cast on. I don't know if you, when I broke my leg, they had one of these bonk, bonk casts. You know, now they have these Velcro type things, you know, it was kind of a temporary thing. They put it on just for safety. They took it off a few days later, discarded it. They said he's perfectly fine. My son used to run competition in high school. What happened to him in the back seat of the car? I'll tell you what happened. A little boy, enabled by the Spirit, cried out to God. How was he able to pray that 3,000-year-old prayer? Because his mommy had taught him the scripture song, right? Several years passed. We got into mountain biking. Do you do mountain biking here in Scotland? We got into mountain biking. And my sons both got mountain bikes. My youngest son was now 10 years old. My older one was a teenager. And so daddy had to get a mountain bike. And I got one which had a shock on it because I was older. And so one day, Jonathan, our youngest son, said, Daddy, can we go mountain biking? And I said, okay. So we got our helmets. We wanted to be safe, you know, put our helmets on. And we got everything ready. And we started to ride near our house. Do you know something I discovered when I started riding a bicycle? I discovered how many dogs there are in the world. And they chase bicycles. Or is it just my bicycle? So I'm riding in the front, and Jonathan's 10 years old, his little bicycle, riding behind in the back, and we're riding down the road. And out of my peripheral vision, I see this huge, dark mass moving. And I turned my head and I saw this fierce black dog racing across the field. He looked like a cross between all different kinds of mean dogs. And it's baring its teeth and it's charging straight towards me. And I panicked. I'd had negative experiences with dogs before. So I panicked and I just began to pedal as fast as I could. But apparently this dog had studied geometry because it adjusted the curve. I mean, you know, it didn't just run and miss me. The faster I pedaled, the more it just kind of changed the curve, and it's coming straight towards my left ankle. And I'm thinking, I'm doomed, and I'm pedaling as fast as I can. And then all I can think of is Lance Armstrong and the Tour de France, you know. And it's just like, wah, you know. And I just like this sprint, and I'm just pedaling as fast as I can, and finally, poof, I just broke loose. I don't know if I got out of the dog's territory or I was just too fast. Poof, I just broke loose and this sense of well-being just flooded over me. And then I remembered something. I was a father. I saw my bike. And I turned back wondering what kind of mangled mess I would see back there. And I turned... And Jonathan's just calmly pedaling his bicycle. I'm like, what? And this huge mean dog is sitting on the side of the road and just watched him go by. And didn't even bark. And finally Jonathan caught up with me. I said, Jonathan, I'm still sweating. Did you see that huge black dog? He said, yes, Daddy. And the first scripture song I sang was, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him and delivers them. About that time, I just imagined an angel pointing to me and saying, he is so slow. You know? So easy to try to do it ourselves. He said, Daddy, the next song I sang was, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, your daughter quoted that yesterday, Yvonne quoted, the peace of God, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. He's only 10 years old. Where does he get that wisdom? Who helped him? Who helped him? Who helped him? The Holy Spirit helped him. But you say, but his mommy helped him too. Didn't she? Didn't she teach him the scripture songs? Fill his heart with the word so that at the time of his need, the Holy Spirit could bring it to his remembrance. I just want to appeal to you today to just essential preparation for harvest workers, okay? Whether you're a pastor, a lay leader, elder, young person, essential preparation is to fill your mind with the Word of God. We've looked at three strategies today. What are they? Saturation, scripture memory cards, and scripture songs. Whatever you do, I encourage you to do that. Well, we're out of time. I really do need, I was going to sing this song with you, but we don't have time. The Holy Spirit will bring that word to your remembrance. The rich promises have a place in their memory. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And that standard is the Word of God. So, if you would like a copy of that 14-week scripture memory card presentation, or you would like a copy of this that I just did, PowerPoint, you can write to me. There's my email address, and I would be happy to send it to you. And thanks for being with us today. And just one last thing, and then I know we've got some announcements. If any of you are interested in getting some scripture songs, we've got a few left, and the Lord impressed me, and I hope it doesn't hurt anyone's feelings, but there's a text in the Bible about the people at the end getting the same pay as the people who started at the beginning. So I'm going to do something for the last ones that are on the table. If any of you are interested, you can talk to me afterwards. Because I'm not going to take them back if any of you need them, okay? But whatever you do, write your own songs, make cards, read the Bible on CD. But be a harvest worker who's filled with the Word of God and let God use you in supernatural ways. Would you do that? Would you be willing to do that? I'm not going to tell you how, but just say yes, I'll do that, right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is so much more powerful than we even know. Forgive us where we've trusted in our human words and wisdom. Thank you for the scriptures. May they find an ever more predominant place in our hearts so that you can bring wisdom to others through us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.